Welcome to the Sister Girls Podcast. It's me, Cherie, also known as Sister Girl Next Door. On this episode, I got the chance to talk to narrator Wesley Chavon. She has been hitting these black indie romance reads pretty hard, using her voice. We talked about everything from how she got into the business of audiobooks and what a day in the life of a narrator looks like. She also answered the question, I want to use my voice for audiobooks. What should I do next? Sister Girls, if you ever wanted to narrate a book, or if you're interested in the life of a narrator, this is the episode for you. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our podcast. We stream on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and RadioPublic.com. Enjoy the interview.
Welcome, Wesley Chavon. How you doing today?
I'm so good, Miss Cherie. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, it's just like such a pleasure to hear your voice in like real time without having to like say, girl, when I want to just jump out and talk to you because you're saying a part of a book that I'm interested in. And I'm just like, girl, do you know what you're saying right now, girl? So tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get into narration? Because that's such an interesting field to take. And did you like pivot there? Or was that always like a dream of yours to use your voice as a talent to like add to other art and to create new art?
Wow, that's such, I love the way you phrased that question because I was at a time in my life where I was like, God, I need something that uses all of my skill set. And you know how they say, be careful what you ask for? Because I feel like I just try in everything. I just trying a lot of different things, but I kept the prayer, you know, steady and I was consistent with the prayer. And a mentor, you know, she reached out to me. We were just talking and she was like, have you ever thought about audiobooks? And I was like, kind of, but it's always that thing where you, it's one of those things where you don't really know how to start. So she put me in touch with a friend of hers who I knew as an actress, did not know she was like killing it in the audiobook world. And she started to coach me. And I just like for about 6 months, I just started working with her. And I met other people who were engineers and directors. And I just asked them to listen to me like for an hour a week, I would be in a studio with somebody just practicing. And it was also something, it was one of those things that I kind of didn't see it coming. I was just like, okay, I need something to put my focus into. This is here. And then slowly but surely, I started making more connections and getting my demo together. And, you know, at first, nobody wants to hire the new narrator because they're just like, yeah, I don't know. You know, somebody
thought about that, like being a new narrator, you had to kind of like pay your dues, or was it just like,
oh, yeah. No, it's like people are like, okay, yeah, okay, well, let me know when you get a book, but nobody's giving you a book, you know what I mean? So, yeah. But I did a book. My first book was with Tantor, and after that, I was just like, well, wait a minute, I love this. And thankfully, you know, they just kept giving me more books, and then I realized the power of like social media and being able to engage and network with like groups like yourself and people like you and groups like Sister Girls Podcast, like, and then just seeing like Christina C. Jones and all the other authors on there and just being able to like engage directly changed a lot of things for me. So that's kind of how I got started.
That's so dope because I think a lot of times we often hear like, you know, if you can't do one thing, or if you had your heart set on one thing, then you just have to literally like give up. But it's like, it might not just be a situation where you give up. It's just like, okay, God is just telling you to redirect. And oof, this is what you came to, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I want to know something. Did you enjoy the sound of your own voice at an early age? Because most people, they don't like the sound of their voice. They'd be like, I hate it. I don't like the way it sounds. So I'm always just like, as a narrator, did you have to like finesse your way? Like, okay, how do I sound? Do I sound good? Do I sound like this to other people? So did you always enjoy your own speaking voice?
You know what's crazy that you asked me that question? Because nobody's ever asked me that. People always assume that people don't like to hear their own voice. I love my voice. And so I'm not saying that.
Like, That's dope.
It's crazy because like one of my first books I had my mom listen to, and like I was listening with her and she was like, look at your face. And I said, well, she's like, you just standing there smiling. I said, girl, I do. I don't know. That's such an interesting thing. Cause I get it. It's like, if you hear yourself on a voicemail or something, like I sound like that. But I think All right. In all honesty, like I think I don't know. I think that I'm funny, right? So I'm like, well, let me hear how I did that. Let me hear how that. And obviously everything isn't funny, but like, I don't know. I do like my voice.
Like your own speaking voice. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe the people that you're inspiring, like right now, will be like, well, because you know, like people like to be part of the pack. So if they be like, well, I don't like my own speaking voice. And you hear other people say that they don't like their own speaking voice. And there's one person like, well, I like my speaking voice. I don't know about y'all, but sis' voice is crisp, clear, bubbly, jovial. I like my voice. So it'll inspire people to say it with confidence and not just try to play themselves down. But you know, certain people, you're like, well, dang, you have a voice that you could really do something with. Like, or you could really like, you know, be on the mic or host or do something like that. So I'm just like, I think it's great that you like your voice. Nobody had to kind of like push you into like saying you should do this or you should like the sound of your voice. So when you're creating characters, so let's back it up a little bit. So you get you get your book and you're just like, this is the first time I'm ever having to like professionally record for someone else's art to now create a new form of art. Because yes, the book is in existence already. So you're just adding your talent. But at the same time, you have to deliver it in a way where the reader is there with you and doesn't want to like give up because they don't like the pace or they don't hear extra noise in the background. So how did you go about, you know, centering yourself to bring the characters to life, you know, on like a, like on that very first project? And what was that project, if you don't mind like saying the title?
So the first project was Annie Up. But I think like, you know, remember what I was saying, I spent like 6 months just practicing and I had really good coaches who gave me everything I needed to know before I even got that book. Mm-hmm. So like they taught me the difference between when the narrator is speaking and having that strong narrator perspective and how to distinguish the different characters, because it's not just about, oh, I can have a, you know, a man voice or a baby voice or a grandma type voice. It's really asking yourself, what is that? Just like basic acting stuff, like what does the character want? What are they trying to do? Because all of that affects how we speak. So he can be, you know, a 6 foot chocolate brown, velvety smooth, you know, CEO or whatever, but is he seducing her in this moment? Is he joking with her in this moment? So like all of those things affect, and then how does that land on her? So I think just having a lot of, I had a lot of questions. I should say I had a lot of technique before I even got into the, got my first book. So I was able to take all of that and actually use it in the book. But I think people, maybe sometimes we underestimate how much the writer has already done, you know, like they so clearly, like when you're reading a book, you can hear the guy because the author has described him so well. You can hear, you know, the barista because the author has already described them so well. So I'm really just tapping into was already on the page.
That's dope. So did you ever take like acting classes, or did you just like take classes on how to like clearly speak and to how to like make sure you said every word or pronounce every vowel? Like, was it that, or was it like acting classes as well? Because I could see where acting come into it, like it plays a large role, because I've heard one of your audiobooks and I'm just like, even though I know I'm speaking to you right now, Wesley, when I listen to a book by you, recorded by you, it's different. It's a different feel. It's a different vibe. And so I'm wondering if you were taught that, or you kind of mix your talent with technique.
So yeah, I definitely have acting training. So I think that helps a lot, because as an actor, like you're taught how to approach a text. And it's kind of, you get the basics are like, what's happening? Like, who am I? What's happening? What do I want? You know, like just those things of what time is it? What's going on? Because all of those things affect the moment. It's just like in real life, like we might not be clocking it so specifically, but like everything affects you. So it's kind of like reverse engineering a moment when you're creating a character. So I just use all of that skill set. But I think with narrating, I just had to learn how to take the techniques I already had, the skills I already had, and kind of rework them a little bit for the narrating format. But I also think the thing that I had to get adjusted to was, it's like if I were in a play before and I was playing a character, when I'm narrating, I'm the whole play. I'm all the characters.
Yeah, I'm the director. I'm like every single person, like the Nutty Professor on steroids. You are every single person.
Yeah, like set design, you know, because I got to describe what it looks like. I'm lighting, you know, what time of day is it? You know, like I'm everything, but I love it. You know, I like working by myself, you know?
I was just about to say, that was my next question. Like, how do you feel like, I don't want to say lonely, but isolated when you have to work, especially when we went through this whole pandemic? Did it even affect your work style, or was it just like, well, I'll just, you know, go into my recording studio and just kind of like knock these books out? Or was it like something that actually like took a hit to you, and then like it shifted you had to shift gears? And even not so much if it affected your pockets, but like your mental space, because if you're going in to play a character and you have to record something and you just had a bad day, or we're in a, you know, a global situation, pandemic specifically, it's like, how do you now say, you know what, I have to put on my sultry voice, or you know, I have to like dig deep to kind of deliver that?
That's such a great question, because it, you know, I think everybody had their own unique experience with COVID. Like, some things are just universal, but for me, I was not trying to build a home studio. I was like, I don't want to. And for a while, like, I didn't have to, you know, because I could go in studio. So when COVID happened, it was like, I mean, the second things started to shut down, I just started ordering everything so that I could do that. And I think for me, those first few weeks, I had to build a studio. And that was such a huge learning curve for me. Moments where I was sitting on the floor of my closet crying because I just couldn't figure it out. And I think because I was doing it under such harsh conditions, you know, like nobody wants to have to, I had deadlines, nobody could come over to help me, you know, things, the store I was ordering from was closing down, like it was crazy. But I think under other normal circumstances, it would not have been that hard. But once that got done and I got through all of that, you know, Zoom became my best friend, FaceTime and people was everything. There was so much work to do and so much to get caught back up on that. I didn't really miss traveling. It actually made things easier for me that I didn't have to go into a studio. So work was affected in a different way. Like, yeah, there was the stress of like, you know, missing friends and just not being able to get up and go like I used to, but work just shifted. For the better, honestly, for me.
I get that. And I think that especially like in a world where, you know, we use our voice, we don't think about how much we use our voice. And I think you're able to like capitalize and like understand that, well, you have to get up and go spirit, because you could have just folded and been like, all right, when we get on better terms and I'll be back to narrate the little books, I'll be back. But I think even you saying that you just built your own studio, you didn't think that, oh, once the studio was shut down, it's a wrap for me. Because typically when you have a studio, you have an engineer, you have all those components to help you along the way. If you have any trouble, you can go call tech, you know, or engineers like literally stand by telling you how to work things or how to make things better. But the idea that you kind of just say, you know what, I can do this. Even if I got to cry in a closet, or I got to cry on my living room floor, I can figure this out. And you did it. Like, I think that's a major key. Like, you know, you still did it. Even if you had to order it and watch a bunch of YouTube, go to YouTube University and Google University, you still were able to accomplish it. And I think that is something a lot of people can take away from, at least if they don't take anything else from this, is like, if you really want to do something, even if you have to cry, you can get it done. So just shifting gears a little bit, of all the genres to lend your voice to, what made you go into Black indie romance specifically? Did the genre choose you, or did you choose the genre, or was it kind of like a kismet thing?
Oh, I like thinking that it was kismet, because, gosh, the first book I read, it was Annie Up, and I was just like, what is this? Because I hadn't read a romance novel since high school. You know, back in the day when I was reading, like, I'm about to age myself, but I don't care. Like the Omar Tyree and yes. You know what I mean?
Like, so, yeah.
You know? Yes, all of that stuff. Like that was it. And do you remember? I'm really about to age myself, but do you remember them books you could get for a penny?
No, I don't.
Do you remember? Okay, because I'm older. That's fine. So there used to be this little cat. Somebody gonna remember. They'd be like, yeah, girl, I remember. But my mom used to subscribe to this. I don't know. I forget what it was called, but you could get like 5 or 10 books for a penny. So we.
That needs to come back. Anybody who's out there, feel free to bring that back.
It was like a dollar. Maybe it wasn't a penny. It might have been like a dollar a book. I might be over exaggerating. But anyway, my mom would get all these books. And so I would read all those books. But I hadn't read a romance since then. And reading Annie Up, I was like, hold up. This is not what I remember reading. It felt like it was something that would have been out of my reach as a kid. And just in terms of like, well, definitely like the erotic, you know, sexual part of it, but the and maybe because I'm older, but it just felt so much more relatable and accessible to me, and I was just floored. And so with that being my first book, I was like, oh, I've got to really put forth my best effort, because, you know, I felt, now when I look back on it, I felt really privileged that work at that level, excuse me, was what I got to cut my teeth on. Excuse me. You know what I mean? Because it kind of set, it just let me know what I was in for. And, you know, since then, it's just been a great ride. But I just think it was kismet, because I didn't see it coming. I was glad that I was a good fit for that particular book. And yeah, I'm happy that my voice is complementary to the style, you know?
Yeah. And I think it definitely, when I think about when you even saying like the storyline behind your own personal story, then leading you up to like Black romance, mm-hmm. and just leading you up to everything that you got to it. And then like this whole, I don't know about you, but I never knew that up until probably recently, a couple months ago, that narrators had their own fanfare. Like they had, you guys have your own like fans that specifically are looking for your voice on projects. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we go and we listen to audiobooks and we don't think about the person behind it so much. So I was just like, well, was it different to you because people started picking up on you as a voice and your voice as a talent and wanting to know more about you? Because typically when we read the book, the author is the star, right? So we read the book and we're like, oh, I gotta find that author. And then we get audiobooks. It's like, we love the author, we love the story, and we also love the narrator. So was that something new for you? Or did you always know that being a narrator for books, you were going to get your own set of people that followed you for your voice?
Yeah, I had no idea. I honestly, when I first started narrating, I had people tell me, nobody's going to be paying you any attention. It's going to be all about the guy. Like, women are listening for the guy. Like, so just don't, you know, don't feel bad when people are like, yeah, whatever, her. And I was like, okay, you know, like, I get it. I get that. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a shocker to me when people are like, Wesley, I love you. Who are you? I need to hear more of this. Like, we love you. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. This is fun. And it really feels like I just have more friends and I have more women that I can just talk to about these amazing books that I'm reading, because I fangirl too. You know what I mean? Like, don't let Jacoby call me on the phone or like, you know, or like they said, Jacoby said this, like, what did he say? Because I go crazy. And even with the authors too, like I got to talk to Christina the other day and I was just like, I need a moment because you are my best friend in my head. You know what I mean? So it's so appreciated. And I say all the time, I love narrating, and I in particular love narrating indie Black romance, the community, though, is such an important factor in why I keep coming back to it, because it's just, I just love it. I love the Black women here. I just love the space. I know everybody's not Black and not a woman, but the majority of people are. And
I'm going to tell you like this. Every time something happens where it's like the Black romance community or the Black literary community, period, but specifically Black romance, mm-hmm. when Black women come together, you never heard the video where the guy's like, Black women, he got to take a moment. And it's just like, we are just like, you can't get no shit like this from nowhere else. And it's like, it's so relatable, because even to like how in these spaces where, you know, people would have told you like, oh, nobody's going to care about the woman, they're only going to care about the man. But I'm like, no, in this space, is Wesley. Like, we know, we hear Jacoby, we love his voice, but it's like, we also applaud the woman in the space too. Like, it wasn't like, you weren't just like, oh, like we're gonna throw her to the back and push him to the front. And I thought that was just amazing as well. And I was just like, well, how have you been taking it in? And I'm happy that you, like, you understand like the importance of the community within the Black indie romance space and the Black indie art, like literary space as a whole. I think that's so dope as well. So when it comes to being a Black woman in this field, because even though you do work for Black independent romances, this is like still a bigger business than that. You know, how has your journey been so far as like a Black woman as a narrator when it comes to work and business?
Well, I'll take it back to the community, because I guess what I would say to that is I feel so satisfied in the space that I'm in. Like, I don't necessarily have a desire to be like, well, y'all should be listening to this too, or y'all should consider, you know, me doing that book over there. Like, I'm good, you know, and I don't, you know what I mean? It's just like, I feel like I am so fed and so satisfied right where I am. And that if I saw somebody recently put out a post, and they were encouraging, I want to say this, you know, I want to be careful about how I say things, but, they were saying like, are you listening to Black authors, audiobooks? Are you reading them? And certain people were just like, that just isn't my jam. You know, I want to read things that I feel like reflect me and what I'm interested in. And I'm like, I get that. That is why I'm over here in this space, because being with these women, being in this space with these Black women, these Black men, like, it makes me feel good. And I feel I'm gonna make up a phrase, but like, I feel so confident and so much more inside of my own personal power being around people who get it, that I don't have to try to convince that this is good and that it is beautiful and that it is sacred and something to be valued and cherished. Like, I'm okay being in this space where I don't feel like I have to teach as much. And obviously I don't mind being in other spaces. Like, I got to work on books that were not by Black authors, and I will continue to, and that's cool. But it's not something that I'm like, I don't feel like I need to be an advocate for. Y'all need to have more Black people. Y'all know what y'all need to do. And if you choose to do it, you can do it. But I'm just thoroughly enjoying where I am, and come play if you want to come play in this playground.
I hear that, because I'm with you. I ain't got time to be Google for why Black people are important no more. It's just that we here, you know it. So I appreciate that. So what does an average day for a narrator, like a working day for a narrator, look like? And because I hear you and I'm hearing you speak, and you coughed, and I was just like, oh girl, protect, get the warm towels, go get the humidifier. This girl can't talk for long. Like, how do you make sure that your voice, like, I know you walk around here like Mariah Carey, you should have somebody hired to walk around with your humidifier and have your dark sunglasses on with your towel wrapped around your throat and be like, okay guys, No speaking. So how is it? Because I'm just like, I'm thinking, I'm like, we talk all the time, but when you talk as your job, you can't just be going to the Beyonce concert screaming.
You are so funny. Okay.
So, I was thinking about that the whole time. I was just like, please, she can't be corporate. Let me get her off.
You are funny.
Well, thankfully, I haven't. Okay. You know what the worst for me is, like, allergies. Like, if something is in the air, I'll start to sneeze, and that really blows me, because then I'll sound nasally, and I'm like, there's been times where an engineer was like, just drink some whiskey, and I was like, okay. The next thing I know, I'm tipsy trying to read. But but that's been helpful if I'm ever you know, just my nose is running, which is the worst. It's so frustrating. Oh, look, now I'm coughing again. I'm just clearing my throat. But so that's like worst case scenario, is that I've definitely had to sip some whiskey in the booth. But normally I just do like hot water. If I ever feel like I'm just not where I want to be, it just doesn't feel good or whatever. Just a lot of hot water, just water, period. But hot water is my jam. But other than that, the thing that's frustrating for me is, like, I can't really drink when I'm recording. I can't like drink alcohol. I have to stay away from dairy. So I'm always like pushing things to the weekend if I can, because that it will affect you. What else? I remember a narrator telling me early on, she was like, the night before you have to record, don't do a lot of talking. And I tried to be careful with that, but that one's hard. But yeah, it takes a toll. And just rest. Like, I think, you know, when your voice is tired, just taking the time to rest. But
you have to warm up.
I don't know.
Like, cause you know, singers, they warm up, they open their, like, they do breathing exercises. So do you have to do any of that, or you just like kind of just speak?
Yeah. I mean, I think too, depending on what I'm working on, like, it just might require something. I was like, oh my gosh, I had to do a book one time, and I had to do the whole book. And there was a lot of the guy talking, and I was just like, sis, this is hard. This is hard. So that I had to do like a lot of, when you feel like your voice is, what's the word? Just overworked. You do a lot of humming to kind of cool it down a little bit. Oh, wow. So you do a warm up and like a cool down. So yeah, like I'll do a warm up in the shower just to kind of get my lips ready and my tongue ready, which is super helpful, because then you find yourself tripping less over words. But a cool down is helpful too when there's a particular character whose placement is just not my normal placement. Like, that can be rough.
So how long does it typically take to record a novel? Is it like the process of like recording? Like, I've been in a studio with like singers and rappers, and you know, they have to do a take, and then they do a take again, and they'll just take again. If it sounds weird, they have to do a take again. So is it like that, or do you just read straight through? Or is it like a line by line situation? If you mess up one part, you gotta go from the beginning? Or is it just where you messed up at that part, because they can kind of like, you know, sync it to where, you know, you don't have to do the whole page over or the whole paragraph, it's just a line. So take me through that.
Yeah, so it's a line by line situation. So so that's why like prepping is important, because generally like when you prep, so prepping means just reading the book beforehand, looking up any words that might be hard to pronounce. Like, I just had to reach out to an author the other day. Like, I'm so thankful for social media, because I could just DM somebody real quick and be like, how you pronounce this? Mm-hmm. And she sent me like a voice memo back. So now I know like, oh, this is how you pronounce the character's name, because I was saying it all wrong. So you want to get your pronunciations together. Sometimes there's a foreign language you want to have together. And it's not that you have like, because I don't always have everything 100%. I sometimes have to look up things in the moment. But so if I'm saying a line, if the line is like, Calvin walked to the grocery store with his book bag on, but I said, Calvin walked to the grocery store with his book bag off, right? Then we got to go back to the beginning of that line. And so I'll hear the playback right up to that point, and then it'll start recording and I jump in. And hopefully I say it right at that time. If not, we got to keep doing it over and over. So that, and there are sometimes, but it's not common, where you'll just record straight through and they won't stop you. And then the editor has to go back and like figure it all out, find the good tapes. But for the most part, especially self-recording, I have to engineer myself. So I got to take myself back to get the line right. But even with that, you know, you still make mistakes, and that's expected, that words are going to be off. And you just fix them later.
Yeah, I like that though. But the line by line, I would have been like, okay, guys, I need a moment. Saying it over and over. And then you have to say it with the same level of enthusiasm, the same level of whatever the character was going through in that moment, whether it was a happy moment or a sad moment. And it's just like, you got to keep that tone and that pace. That's work. So for the people out there thinking about it,
yeah,
it's action. So what's one thing you wouldn't have known that you can share with other people, with listeners, that that you found out after you became a narrator about voice narration?
That I wouldn't have known. Well, I didn't know, again, the community. I didn't know the community was so dope. I didn't know, you know, even though like you're just sitting in the closet, it's a workout. Like you are an athlete in there. And so like, you know, to your point earlier about the warm up, taking care of your voice, all of those things really matter so that you can perform at an optimal level when you get inside the booth. So I guess just taking those things into account, that it requires a lot of endurance. I think, I don't know, like, because for me, even what you were saying too before about like when we were talking about repeating the line over and over,
was cool about that. You might get frustrated. If like you could literally get frustrated, especially because you're working by yourself. And now, you know, even with the home studio, it's like, well, God damn, how many times I'm going to say look up instead of look up? Like, you know what I mean? Just because I'm not paying attention. It's like you would get frustrated with yourself, but knowing that, all right, to pace yourself, maybe drink some water and just like bring it on back, especially if you don't have anybody coaching you. Because you know, with like singer, if you're in the studio, people will be like, all right, you got this time. You know, there's nobody to say you got this time. Yeah. You have to be your own coach and your own cheerleader.
I think though, like in those moments, I have to remind myself, I'm probably missing something. If I keep repeating the same line over and over incorrectly, it's something's, in those moments, I would say 85 to 90% of the time, my brain is trying to show me that I'm missing something. And it's either an acting something that I'm missing, like I'm interpreting the line maybe not well, or at, you know, best in his best interpretation, or I'm completely saying a word wrong. I feel like I can't talk right now, or I'm saying a word wrong. So I have to like slow down. Like somebody pointed out to me early on, like your brain eye mouth coordination has got to be like on point. So sometimes if the thing keeps happening over and over, I got to step back a little bit and go, okay, what am I missing? And sometimes I'm like, oh, because the other day the word was antichrist and I kept saying anarchist, you know?
I could see me doing that at least 10 times, and maybe on the 11th time I would have got it right.
It's like, oh, that's why you couldn't get it out. Because you know, you're reading it wrong, you know, so.
Or you're tired, or like, you know, you've just been in like a small space.
That's true.
And you're doing the same exact thing. So how do you do with like self-care? Like, you know, because I'm thinking in my mind, this is me just being very, like having a big imagination. You got this whole booth, but you're in like a real, like square space, or like a very confined space. And I'm just like, well, if you're doing a whole novel and you got like a lot of things going on, do you go outside? What does it, like your breaks, and what does yourself outside of just making sure you have your vocal rest and making sure that, you know, you're drinking and eating the right foods and put nourishing your body, like how do you nourish your mind, especially when the characters might be very different? Because Annie, That's by Christina C. Jones. The whole time we've been having this conversation, we've said that title 51 times. And didn't say who the author was. So shout out to Christina. But that's not like the lightest book in the, like, that's not like, you know, Sesame Street. You know what I mean? So if you're reading something that's kind of like, that's really intense, how do you kind of like snap out of that?
No, you're right. Yeah, you know, you got me thinking about just some other things that I've worked on that I've been like, yo, I have to take a break, because it just, it was just hard to get through, or just even moments where like, you, it's really sad, you know, yeah, it's just like, oh, this hurts my heart.
Even when they like, if you're dealing with Black romance, it's like, there's a point in the story that somebody is going to be like heartbroken, or just like they can't.
Yeah. Oh my, you know, God. Yeah. They got to break up.
It's like a certain part where you just like, well, damn, can we just get it together? And that book, Annie Up, is a really dope book. So I'm just like, but it's a certain part where you just like, all right, I need to put the book down and get it together. Yeah. So if you're speaking this, it's just like, how do you like kind of say, all right, guys, let me take a break. Let me go eat lunch now, or talk on the phone with my best friend. Yeah. Like, how do you kind of shift that, those gears?
You know, you got to take the breaks. You got to take the break. It's like you said before about you are the director in the space, right? So you also have to monitor, am I getting tired? Is my voice overworked? Do I need to step away for a second? Because like, yeah, the breakups be rough, because we're rooting for them. We're rooting for them to be together. You see when they're making these dumb decisions, you know? Even though we know they're going to get back together, it's still hurt. And then don't let a baby get involved. If there's a kid in there, I'm on the floor, honey. So, you know, you do have to, I have to be like, almost like my own assistant, you know, like, are you good? Do you need this? Do you need that? And just step away. But so I have a dog, which I'm so grateful for, because he has to go out 3 times a day, but I take him out 4 because, you know, he my baby. So walking with him helps, getting outside, getting some fresh air, and just making sure I have the things that I need. You know, we got a tea kettle to keep that water hot, and, you know, all the things. But I think the biggest thing is like, step away when you need to, because the book will be there and you can get back to it. But and don't nobody want to hear you crying through a book. So,
you know. So. For the people out there, there's going to be a listener that's like, I really want to get into, you know, audiobooks. I feel like I have a great voice for it. So finish this sentence. So I want to become a narrator. I record a demo and then blank.
And then you reach out to publishers and you find out who they're... who to contact for casting, and what their casting process is. So some publishers will have a direct person you send your information to, they'll schedule an audition, or they'll have a website where you can post all of your stuff up and they'll reach out to you. But I would just say, make sure that demo is tight, because that demo reflects your studio. And right now, I don't know. I know different places, cities and states are opening up. So you might be able to go into a studio and say, I don't have a home studio, but I have a place where I can go and record. You want that sound, that quality to be really good, because if they hear, you know, a cat meowing in the background or your refrigerator purring, all that stuff is going to pick up. And so, and it represents, it's like your business card, you know, your headshot. It represents the quality of work that you will end up sending to them.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of people are like, they always like, you know, people are like, well, just do this. And it's like, okay, I did that, and then what? You know what I mean? It's like, just record the demo. It's like, what's after the demo, girl? What's after that? I got that part. So thank you for sharing, because I know it's going to help a lot of people out. And what has been one of your the highlights of your career so far? Like, what has been that thing where you just like, oh, this was dope?
Wow. What has been a highlight? There's so many good things. So in no particular order, but like, Wesley is my book bestie sweatshirt. That was amazing. Recently doing a live with Emmanuel was dope. And then when I get to talk to my authors, like, oh my God, the first time I talked to Stephanie Nicole Norris on the phone, I was like, this, I was just having a whole moment.
The whole time I think I thought that you, the author, was pulled in at one point. So you didn't you don't have an actual like conference call or something like that before you do the audio books. There's no like, oh, so that was the part that I was missing. So when you said, when I spoke to Christina on the phone, I was like, well, wouldn't y'all have spoken before? Because you did a whole audio book. But yeah,
the only,
I didn't know that. So you,
the only contact I kind of had was through when I first did Jacinta Howard's the prototype series. So the first book was Happiness in Jersey, and she had very specific notes for Jersey. Well, she did for all of them, but that was the only information that I had got from an author, but that also came through the publisher. And I think, I don't know, maybe because it's like a corporate thing and they're like, most y'all are our clients, we're gonna keep it, you know, they have their rules or whatever. Sense. And I guess
that series is dope. But when you said it, I was like, well, maybe she was just talking about before. But now that you said it, like you opened up the gate, I'm so happy that you are able to speak to the authors, because that's just like, that's like a whole nother level of just like creativity, meeting creativity, and like having those moments to kind of say, like, you know, you took my novel to another level and was able to reach. Because some people don't actually read books. They prefer audiobooks over reading books. So that's reaching a whole new audience for them, their work to reach a whole new audience. Because I have a friend who's strictly like, girl, I don't have time to sit down because of my work schedule, my life, to actually read the book. They have it on while they're at the gym. They'll have it on in the car or at, you know, break times. So it's like, that's someone who might have missed out on like such a great story and a great author because, you know, they don't read the book. All of it is reading, because there's a whole big thing about what's technically reading. In my world, it's all reading. It's in your brain. You can't get it out. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, sitting with the paperback and reading it with your eyes. Let's get real specific. Cool. They would have missed out. You know, they would have missed out on that because they don't have the time to do it. But so I'm just like, just knowing that you're able to help those authors reach new people and then also be able to talk to the author, you know, and I feel like that's another great thing about, I'm not trying to be funny, about being Black in this community and having that space is like, it's kind of like a kinship. Like you can hit them up on social media and be like, hey girl, how you doing?
For real. for real. And that is such a, it's such a privilege to be able to do that. And it's kind of like, one, it's a time factor. It's like, come on, man. I don't want to wait days when I can, you know what I mean? But I do understand, you know, the business of it all. But also what you were saying before about that creator meeting creator, like the author birthed this story and these people into the world. And like, I get to give them voice, and it's just, you know, like you don't understand how that prototype series, those kids, I was with them for so long. Like they did not leave me I would go to that coffee shop and hang out with them in my head. You know, like I just felt like a part of that community, even though it was in my imagination. So I was excited to be able to have those moments the first time I actually talked to Jacinta was, we did a live a couple weeks ago, and like I was just losing my stuff. So
that's so dope though. I'm happy that you were able to have those moments, because I mean, I think that we all need those moments. And it helps you give that, like, you know, this is wild. Like, you know, sometimes you might feel confined to just, but you don't see like all of everything that's going on, because so much of like writing and what this space is very much now on the internet. So it's like, we don't see the reader reading the book. We don't see the reader listening to the book. We can't see it like when they're like hype, or like when you said something a certain way and they start crying, you know what I mean? Or they just get so happy. So it's like when you're able to get that feedback, like the great thing about social media is that you're able to see and connect to the readers and to the authors and just everyone. And I think that's dope, so dope for you, especially because I feel like you're such a cool person. We find out.
Right, I got you there.
So finish the sentence. We're almost done. Black love is.
Oof. Black love is me. Black love is you. Black love is us. Like, we are the definition of it, you know, like just how we exist in the world, how we commune together, how we just make it better for each other and for ourselves. Like, I don't know, it's the best. I'll just wrap myself up in it.
All right, so I got flash questions. These are questions where you do not think about it, you just answer.
Okay.
It,
okay. Okay.
All right. Working in the morning or at night?
Morning.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Living single or girlfriends?
Living single.
Romance or women's fiction?
Damn. I gotta take both. I'm sorry.
Uber Eats or DoorDash?
Uber Eats.
Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey?
Whitney, child, before you even say anything, it would never be anybody other than Whitney. But
one. Now I just feel like we're friends in real life because that's the one for me always.
Right.
And who is Wesley Chivon? Last question.
Who is Wesley Chivon? Damn, and I gotta just say that off the cuff. Okay, ask me again.
Who is Wesley Chivon? You can take a moment.
Yeah, because that's powerful. My God, you about to have me write a whole mission statement. Wow. Wesley Chivon is a romance audiobook narrator. Wow. Breathing life into your heart, into your mind, into these stories. She's taking you on a journey of love, back to love. That's heavy. I gotta sit with that one.
I think you said it perfectly. You said it perfectly. So where can we catch Wesley? Come on, you gotta let us know where you're at, your social media, your website, what new projects you have coming up, if you can say.
I know, oh my God, there's so much. I'm like, can I talk about this? Okay, my social media is Wesley_Chivon. I think it's just Wesley Chivon, romance narrator on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, but not as active as I should be. But if you just look up Wesley Chivon, she's there. And you asked me what's coming up next. I got some Christina C. Jones coming up, some Stephanie Nicole Norris. Dania, I'm working on a project. She's another author I got to talk to, which was great. We got something coming up in August. Oh my gosh, I'm doing a book with Emmanuel by Susan Peters, this Iron Collar. I hope she don't mind me saying that because I just said it. And then I got something else coming out that I'm also really excited about that I don't know if I can say, but y'all know when it drops. It's I'm like, wow.
You have a lot coming up. That's the point. You have things coming, coming down the funnel for you. And I'm so happy for you. This was such a great conversation. Cause I was like, well, after I asked all the questions, I'm interested. What are we gonna talk about as a narrator? Like how? So I think a lot of people are gonna like take away so many gems from this, especially people who are interested in just like breaking into a new field, yeah. breaking into voice narration. And you like explained it so well. Mm-hmm. I feel like now you're a friend in my head.
Yes.
Well, no longer a friend in my head. You're a friend in like, if I see you, I'm gonna run up on you and give
yes.
you a hug.
Please hopefully, do. Please
once
do.
We come out the Patricia, once we come out the Patricia, then I can give you a quick hug and not like a fist bump, you know, with a okay. glove on.
With the elbow, right.
But yeah. Thank you so much for like clearing out your little schedule for me because I know you got so many things to work on. And thank you. This was like a dope interview.
Yeah, you are amazing. Thank you so much. You call me anytime because I had a lot of fun. You got me thinking about some things to ponder on.